Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you and we rejoice in the fact that we have this privilege of just sitting down and chatting with you, sharing with you some of these wonderful truths in the Word of God. As you know, it's my personal desire that every one of us not only know the Savior, I know something about the wonders of His grace and the marvels of His love and His power to us what who believe, but also to enjoy that intimate fellowship with Him. It ever astounds me when I realize that God wants your fellowship and He wants my fellowship. This is why He made man. This is why He saved us. God's going to have a people with whom He, the eternal living God, can have wonderful fellowship. And we find this here in chapter 17 of Genesis, where we have the sample faith. What is the sample faith? But faith in the God of resurrection. In chapter 16, we had where Abram failed God. He hearkened unto Sarah. And you remember, Ishmael is born. He's 86 years of age when Ishmael is born. Sarah is 76 years of age. And then there's 13 years of silence. I'm repeating this. I want you to get right down in your hearts. Between chapter 16 and 17, there's a 13 years of silence. And may I say, if God had not sovereignly come on the scene, Abram would have gone on occupied with Ishmael, the fruit of the flesh. Sad but true. Now when he's 99 years of age, and there's no hope of Abram in having a child, as we had it in Romans chapter 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. When? When he was about 100 years of age. What gave him that assurance? What gave him that certainty that he's going to have a boy? The revelation of God to him that his God was not only the God of glory, was not only El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, but his God was El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the nurturer, the one who supplies strength, the one who gives life. I again repeat it, my friend. And I say, especially to those of you who are believers, if you're having trouble and you're in distress, you have no peace of heart, and life is miserable, why don't you turn to him, El Shaddai? The Lord always is waiting. He's just waiting for you. It's not that you're waiting for him. He's waiting for you. He was the one who sought Adam when Adam sinned. Adam didn't seek God. God sought Adam. Here it is with Abraham. Abraham, his friend. My friend Abraham. Took him out of idolatry. Promised him a seed. Promised him a family like the sand of the seashore by the stars of heaven. Abraham believed God. Then he had to wait. Then he had to wait. Oh, it's so hard to wait. Sometimes I think, you know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord took us home the moment we were saved? Just the moment we were saved, take us right home. Oh, that'd be wonderful. No, he's left us down here because he's got a job for you and me to do. Furthermore, he's working on us. He's working in us, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. He's working in us. He's working through us. You see, if he took us home the moment we were saved, who's going to tell the rest of the world about a Savior? No, he leaves us down here. You won't lead souls to Christ when you get to heaven. You won't witness for the Savior when you get to heaven, my friend. We do that right down here. Oh, but I'm so weak. Wonderful. Do you mean that? Then you look to El Shaddai. And no obstacle is going to stand in the way of El Shaddai performing his will and his purpose. All he wants us to do is to walk before him. You don't have to stoop to any fleshly expedience. Just let him work out his plan, his purpose, in his own time. And he's always on time. He's the El Shaddai. Now, I was closing last week, or the last message, rather, with a statement that he, as El Shaddai, chastens his own And I quoted from Job 5:17, "Blessed is the man whom El Shaddai chasteneth," or the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20. You remember where Naomi came back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she blamed El Shaddai for the whole thing. "I went out full, I came back empty." Blamed El Shaddai. And then, as El Shaddai, he's the one who separates us from that which is evil. You see, communion without separation is impossible. It's what you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 18. This question of separation unto God. I repeat the statement, communion with God is impossible without separation. And as El Shaddai, he separates us. As El Shaddai, he says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." We're a separate people from evil, not from God's people. It may be wise, well, for me to say a word about this. I have met Christians who separate themselves from God's people because they don't cross their T's and dot their I's like they do. Now listen, if a person really accepts the Savior, really is a child of God, you may differ with them in doctrine, but you should not break your fellowship with them. They're the objects of God's love just as much as you are. Maybe you're wrong in doctrine. You see, friends, again I come back to Corinthians 13. We only know in part. You only know in part. I only know in part. But while we're here on earth, if we love the Savior, let's win souls for Christ. Let's enjoy each other's fellowship. Oh, but they believe this. Well, it may be they've never been taught the truth like you have, but have fellowship with them. You see, you're going to live together in glory. You're going to live for eternity together. Oh, but they're going to be changed. Yes, and so are you, and so am I. You know, I received a letter from a person the other day, and I know he won't mind me saying this. I can't quote him verbatim, but he said this. He's enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the ministry, was praying for me, asked the Lord's blessing upon me, and then he ended up by saying, "I don't agree with you on certain things." Well, that may be true. That may be true. You may not agree with all that I say. I may not agree with what you believe. But if you love the Savior, oh, let's manifest some love. Do you know, Jesus said in John chapter 13, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have the same doctrine, that you believe the same things in detail." No. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, my followers, if you have love one for another." And I'll tell you, friend, it's this love, lack of love for each other, that manifests the fact we are not his disciples. And we hear a lot about discipleship today. Making disciples, discipling others. And I'm all for it. But I'll tell you one thing. You can talk all about the doctrine of discipleship, but if you're not manifesting love, even for those who disagree with you, if they love the Savior, you owe them your love. That's what you have in Ephesians 4. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we come to the unity of the faith. It isn't the other way around in Ephesians 4. Keep the unity of the faith and then you'll have the unity of the Spirit. Oh no. It's the other way around. We are to endeavor, and sometimes it is an endeavor. God has some pretty ornery children. No question about that. Some are pretty cold. Some are indifferent. Some are ornery, like you and me. But you see, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we come to the unity of the faith, till we all come to maturity, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he separates us for fellowship. Not from each other as Christians, but from that which is evil in the world. You see, I'm talking about a union now. The moment a person accepts the Savior, they're joined to the Savior, and they're joined to you and me. They may not know very much. God has a lot of children, a lot of babies who've never grown up. I think of that verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, in the first, where the verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And don't be like the Corinthian church in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, when Paul said that I could talk to you as mature, but you're babies, you're carnal, you haven't grown up, you walk like the unsaved, you're fighting among yourselves. Why don't we trust El Shaddai? Oh, to come into the presence of the eternal God and know that He's my God and He's El Shaddai and He's sufficient for my every need, even to love some of the unlovely Christians that are on the earth. See, one church won't have a thing to do with another church, yet they both claim to love the Savior. This must be very heartbreaking to the Lord Jesus. Oh, Christian friend, fall in love with the Savior, and you'll love others. You know, I've got people I have real joy and fellowship with. They'd love the Savior, but when it comes to doctrine, we're miles apart. But they're genuine in their love for the Savior, and I love them. And I'm sure that someday we'll both enjoy the fullness of doctrine. When? When we see Him face to face. That's right. We only know in part. Now, may I just say one further word about El Shaddai? He's the Eternal One. As the El Shaddai, He's the Eternal One. I'm going to turn over to the book of Revelation for a minute. And I'm going to use my Bible. You know, I think we should do something here. If you got your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 1. He's been talking about the coming of the Lord. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and so on. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What do you mean by that? Alpha is the first word in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last word of the Greek alphabet. I am the first, I am the last. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the El Shaddai, the Almighty. Now He talks to John, and in verse 11, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I'm the first, and I'm the last. Go down to verse 17. He laid His right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys, the authority of hell and of death. Who is this? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's El Shaddai. Do you mean the one whom Abraham talked to was Jesus? Yes, yes, the Son of God. Do you mean that Jesus Christ, who was crucified and was raised from the dead, who is our Savior, is El Shaddai? Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, it's an amazing thing. Listen to it. In chapter 4, verse 8, the four living ones, they had six wings above, they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, which was, which is, and is to come. Who's El Shaddai? Jesus. You remember in John chapter 8, and you come to the end of the chapter, about verse 56, the end of the argument, if I may take a moment here, the end of the argument of John is at the end of chapter 8. He's already declared Himself to be the bread of life, the light of the world, and so on. He's the sinless one. He's the great deliverer from death. He's the sinless one. And then he made this statement when they raged on him, they were mad at him, they wanted to kill him, and he said, "Listen, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Why, they said to him, "You're not yet 50 years of age, and have you seen Abraham?" And our Lord's answer was, "Before Abraham was, I am." He didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to be El Shaddai. He claimed to be Jehovah. What did the Jews do? They picked up stones to kill him. Why kill him? Because he was claiming to be God. The El Shaddai. The Almighty God. Let me read from Isaiah. I'm going to take the time on this. I think sometimes you folk need to get into your Bibles. Listen to these. Let me read you 2 or 3 verses from Isaiah. I'm talking about Jesus. Now listen, Isaiah 41, verse 4, I read, "Who hath wrought and done it?" He's calling and talking about the Creator. "Calling the generations from the beginning, I am the Lord, I am the first, and with the last. I am He," who? The Creator. Take chapter 44, verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Isaiah 48, verse 12. "Hearken to me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last." And what did Revelation chapter 1 say? "I am the first. I am the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The El Shaddai. "I have the keys of death and of hell." Who? Jesus, the Son of God. My friend, rule out Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Rule Him out as El Shaddai. Rule Him out as the Eternal One. Rule Him out as Jehovah. And you have no revelation of God. And all your Old Testament runs forward to the One who comes. I am El Shaddai. You can count on me. Now let's read the verse again. In the book of Genesis chapter 17, and we come back to that verse. When Abraham was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I'm El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect." You see, friend, you can count on me. That's what he is saying. You can count on me. You can just count on me. I'm El Shaddai. That's why he said in chapter 18, he said to Sarah, when Sarah laughed because God said that Sarah was going to have a baby boy, she laughed. And what did he say? "Is there anything too hard for me, El Shaddai, the Almighty God? All I ask for you is to walk before me." That's why when you come to Hebrews 11:11, Sarah herself received strength by faith, received strength to conceive seed when she was past child, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Who? El Shaddai. The God of glory. The possessor of heaven and earth. The Creator of all things is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. This is the One who became the God to Abraham and all that followed. I said a while ago in the preceding lesson, this is the God of the ancient believers in Christ. He was El Shaddai. And just ask one thing in that verse. "Walk before me and be thou perfect." You know, let me suggest this. there are four ways whereby a Christian can walk with God. Allow me to give them to you, may I? Four ways. Walk before me. Chapter 17, verse 1. Walk before me as a child in simple trust. He's 99 years of age. He's at the end of himself. Now, as a child, walk before me in simple trust. That speaks of security. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, I read, to Israel is to walk after him as a servant in simple obedience. This speaks of my service. Deuteronomy 13, 4. And then in Genesis 5, 24, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He walked with God as a friend in blessed fellowship. This speaks of our joy, you see. And then in Colossians 2, 6, I read, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He becomes our path. We're a member of Christ. That speaks of union. That speaks of life. Did you notice this? Walk before me as a child in simple trust. That speaks of security. Walk after me as a servant in simple obedience. And there are some, you know, who claim to be the servants of the Lord and they want their own way. No, we walk before him as babes needing help. We walk after him as a servant in simple obedience, wanting his way. We are to walk with him as a friend in blessed fellowship. And we walk in him because he's our life. This speaks of union with the Savior. Oh, friend, may I suggest, there are many who walk before God as babes needing help. Many who walk after him as servants, but they want their own way. But very few are walking with him as friends in blessed fellowship, in union with him. May you walk with him today in blessed, wonderful fellowship. Now the Lord bless you today, and may his face shine upon you, and may your joy be filled full today. Walk with him. The Lord bless you for his name's sake.